The word Advent means coming. We've been in celebration of the Advent season as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. We celebrate His birth. And each Sunday leading up to Christmas, our Christmas Eve service, where we light the Christ candle, which is the middle candle, the white candle, we light a candle. 2 weeks ago, we lit what is called the prophecy candle, and we celebrated all the prophetic scriptures, hundreds of prophetic scriptures that look forward to the coming of Jesus that have been fulfilled in absolute detail in every way. Last Sunday, we lit the angel candle. No less than seven times we saw miraculous intervention of angels with their messages, message of salvation that came during that time of His birth, leading up to His birth. Seven times angels came with messages, just as today I believe angels are watching in today as we are worshiping. And today we light the third candle, which is the candle of, if I can get this thing to go, this is the shepherd's candle. The shepherds truly show us that the birth of Christ was for everyone. As the shepherds came rejoicing, you know, wasn't it neat that God gave an angelic chorus that appeared to the angels, to the shepherds in that night sky. Let me read to you the story from Luke, exactly what happened with the shepherds. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed the census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. The census was first taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all returned to their towns to register for the census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he went to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. And she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding the flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened. What do you reckon that was like? The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounding you. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of a great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the promised one, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You'll find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to all whom God favors." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they ran to the village. They found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them, because they had seen the child just as the angel had promised. Let's pray. And Lord, we do thank you for your presence here today. Lord, as we celebrate your birth in this season, we bless you for all the gifts we have received from you. But most of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus. We celebrate with the shepherds, singing, "Praise be to God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to all men with whom He is pleased." It is in the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. What a week we have had. It's been a wonderful time. For all of you that came down and helped us at Baptist Center on Wednesday, it was a wonderful, wonderful time there to see the best Christmas pageant ever come together. How many of you have read that story? Well, four or five of us, about the herdmans. Well, the herdsmen showed up, and we had a great, great time. It was a great time together. And then on Thursday and Friday night with a live nativity, thank you for all your help. It took many, many people to do that, and we bless you. And we've got a lot of these. We had made up a bunch of these coloring books. There's a stack on the table, and then there's a box behind the table. We'd really like for all these to be distributed to children. And it's a coloring book that tells a story of Jesus. Is that something, is that for us?
Nope.
It's a maintenance call, I believe. Also, I almost didn't set mine to stun before the service. I'm going to bless you, Brian. Everybody tell Brian bye. if some of you came to this church and you thought the meaning of this church, that this was a formal and high church experience, You got the wrong number on that. It's like a family. And you know, it's not like a family. It is a family. And we enjoy that on the face of this earth. Also, there's some sheets for you to invite folks to our Christmas Eve service. Many people will be looking for something to do on Christmas Eve. 6 o'clock, it'll be about a 45-minute service, carols, candles, and communion together. We encourage you to invite your friends and family. And speaking of friends, today is Friend Day, and for those of you who are guests today, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. I know some of you you're part of other congregations, and our desire is not for you to ever leave your other congregation. But we're glad you're here today. For those of you who don't have a congregational home, a family of God that you are with, we invite you to be a part of this one. This side of heaven, it's sweet, isn't it? The family of God. Well, today, yes, we are talking about shepherds and about circumstances. The shepherds found themselves in a lot of different kinds of circumstances. 3 years ago, with our economy heated up like it was, stockbrokers throwing darts blindfolded at the wall where stocks were listed, and as one of my friends told me one day, he was a stockbroker, he said, "We made money on everything." He said, "You could blindfold yourself and throw it at the wall, and we made money." A little different today, isn't it? Our country is different today. Our world is different today. But let me tell you, Jesus still reigns. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So today, I want to talk some about circumstances, because when you think about shepherds, you start to think about circumstances, the circumstances they found themselves in, as I read you the story. Now, how did you get here today? What circumstances brought you to this hour? What have your circumstances been like this year? I don't know how many of my friends have told me, said, Dust, I'm just ready to get 2010 in the rearview mirror. Here are a few questions, a few things to think about when it comes to circumstances. You may be at the place and you're thinking where circumstances are driving you crazy right now. And you may be thinking that, when I think about Christmas, circumstances are really standing in my way. Some of you may be waiting on circumstances to change before you can really celebrate the birth of our Lord. You might be waiting on everything to be perfect. Many of us have this storybook kind of fantasy world idea about what Christmas should be. But there's a problem with this. It's a very simple problem. We're not perfect. Our world's not perfect. And our circumstances definitely are not perfect. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Okay. Another thing we might be waiting on. We might be waiting on others, significant people in our lives, friends, family members, work associates, our boss, for them to see things through our eyes. Waiting for them to look at things the way we do, to come around to our point of view. Now, I have a simple statement about that. That's like spitting in the ocean to watch the tide rise. Think about it. And are they wrong, those other people, wrong because they don't see it the way we do? Maybe you're waiting on others to change before certain things can happen in your life, including a celebration of Christmas. Some of us may be waiting today for somehow between now and Christmas, more time to be manufactured. More time to do everything. To squeeze it all in. To get one more cram, one more thing into it. And let me stop here just for a moment, talk about time for just a moment. You realize when you bump some things out of your life, Christmas celebrations that should be wonderful experiences for you, what bumped it out of your life? What did you spend the time on that would cause you to move that out of your life? People say, well, I don't have time for a worship service or I don't have time to spend with it. Why? What's more important? Another circumstance you may be waiting on is for everyone to suddenly become happy in your life. What's the chances of that? Have them all happy at the same time. And by the way, the word happy comes from the word happenstance. And that changes every day because the circumstances change every day. And think about how many people who have their lives chained to circumstances. And the look on their face is chained to circumstance. They can't see beyond a circumstance. And finally, this may be the most idiotic one of all. We may be waiting for there to come an abundance of money. Well, how much is enough? Sometimes it begs another question when I hear about a few of the world's you know, the richest ones in the world, what was the top 63 or top 25 billionaires in the world that were going to leave a few millions for the rabble? Somehow that has a hollow ring to it. It's kind of like the barnyard animals coming to breakfast, and the chicken said, I made a contribution. And the pig says, but I made a sacrifice. That'll come to some of you in a few minutes. You're a little slow today. Well, let's talk about the circumstances of our original Christmas story, the birth of the Christ child. God used Caesar Augustus, Octavian, to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Here's the Emperor of Rome, most powerful man in the world. He decreed that everyone should go to their home city. They're to be registered for a census. Why would you register for a census? So you can be right. Now, even back then, the government had their hand in your back pocket. In Palestine, this is definitely for the purpose of taxation. We have no evidence historically that Caesar Augustus ever realized the eternal impact of the decision that he made. Did you hear me on that? No evidence that he ever realized what he had done. And just a reminder to us, there are things that we decide to do every day that have eternal impact, whether we can see it right now or not. Maybe there are some external circumstances that God is using in your life to move you to a special place, like he moved Mary and Joseph, as he brought them through a worldwide decree to Bethlehem. Secondly, travel to Bethlehem was difficult. It was 80 miles of tough travel for Joseph. But don't forget, Mary was pregnant and about to deliver. This was a very taxing physical experience for both of them, but especially for her. But God used even the travel to underline his will and purpose, what he was doing in the earth, what he was doing for mankind in the matter. Some of us may be thinking that after we submit to the will of God, it's going to be a cakewalk. Let me ask you, has that been your experience? When you submit to God's will, that automatically it becomes a cakewalk? This was no cakewalk of 80 miles into Bethlehem through many adverse circumstances. God used their travel. I want to ask you this. Are you going to be traveling during the Christmas season? Some of you will. How do you think God wants to use your travel? For his glory, for his honor. A third circumstance that the Lord used in the Christmas story. An unmarried woman gave birth to the Son of God. Let me say that again. An unmarried woman gave birth to the Son of God. Mary, a teenager, mother-to-be, God was very serious about us understanding the fact that she was a virgin. He went to great pains to let everybody know that, Mary herself, the child that you're going to is going to be born of you, is going to come by the Holy Spirit. Let Joseph know that. We have it in God's Word. It's very clear. She had never known a man. The man that she was engaged to was banking on the truth of the visit that he had had with an angel. You think about that. God had spoken to him through an angel, and he was banking on that. Are you listening to God in this Christmas season? There's no way that the miraculous can be divorced from the story. You see, it's more like a serial miracle. One right after the other, linked together, telling the whole story. You see, in this case, the circumstances were taken captive by God for His purposes. Maybe you've ruled out miracles in your life. Maybe you've ruled out miracles at this Christmas season, at this time in the history of your family, as you find yourself living in the United States of America, in Georgia, in Savannah. It might be time for you to open yourself to God's miraculous intervention. He may want to perform a miracle in your life. What kind of miracle do you expect from the hand of God? Another circumstance that God used was the birth announcement. It was delivered in a very unusual way. Here you have angels coming to herald the birth to shepherds. Kind of odd group of people. Shepherds, kind of the as we've been calling them in this season, kind of the blue-collar part of Christmas. There they are, working out in the fields. But then he also uses something in the heavens for the Magi. Now next week we'll light the Magi candle, but who come much later, but they see the star heralding His birth. Birth announcement. How about that? Angels and the star. The heavens are moved, and God's personal emissaries come with the message. Pretty unusual birth announcement. You see? Here's the thing about God. He can speak through whatever He wants to speak through. And generally does, doesn't He? He can speak through a jackass in the Old Testament. And He did it. Huh? He did it. He speaks. He speaks. The problem isn't, is God speaking in this Christmas season? Here's the problem. Are we listening? Is our ear tilted, allowing the Holy Spirit who is with us here right now? Do you realize that the Spirit of God is right here, right now? That angels are looking in on our worship. Now, does that change the context of everything for you a little bit? Finally, another circumstance that God used in the story. The visitors to the child wouldn't be what you would call first choice visitors, or what in our world we would consider first choice. Strangers appear in Bethlehem to celebrate the birth. But isn't that what a birth does? It brings together people of all stripes, doesn't it? People that may never have come together. How many times I've been at one of the local hospitals and And a child is born, and when that child is born, people stop. There's the family, and there's the medical people, and then there's the people that are down the hallway waiting on another child to be born, and they all come in there. And the UPS man that's making a delivery, he stops, and everybody is praising for the birth of a child. The Magi came, as we spoke about. Many visitors come for the birth of a child. You may have been thrown in with a group of Christians for this Christmas season. As you look around you, you see all sorts of different people. I know some of you, when you're choosing the people you want to celebrate something with, isn't it interesting that a lot of times you don't get a choice about that? Who is God bringing to your celebration of the birth of His Son this year? Who's He putting you with? Now, here's the truth about circumstances. The only consistent thing about circumstances is that they're going to change. That's right. They're like the weather in Texas. We moved to Texas years ago after we first got married. It was one of the first things that people said, if you don't like the weather here, wait a minute. It'll change. And that's literally true. Rick and I were talking about this morning that we've witnessed times in Texas in 1 hour it would change 45 degrees. What do you think is going through Mary's mind as the Scripture says she was pondering all of these things? What are you pondering about the birth of Jesus and celebration this year? What are you pondering this year as you come to the celebration of Christmas and you know right around the corner is a new year, it's 2011. What are you pondering? Well, as you look back on 2010 and look forward, what are you pondering? Remember where Mary started, a young peasant girl, excited about her engagement to Joseph, and then, bam, who shows up on her doorstep? An angel. With this news, what a whirlwind for her. A whirlwind that would continue throughout her life. Now hear me on this. Once Jesus arrives, it is a whirlwind, isn't it? As we see His power and His presence, as we see Him just the wind of the Spirit of God blowing through people's lives and blowing through our lives, they're never the same. We can't just go back and say, well, I'll undo that. No, it's changing again and again and again as He is constantly renewing us and renewing the people around us if we let Him. Another truth about circumstances. Are the circumstances changing in your life? What has changed this year? And what's going to change in 2011? Now don't be an idiot. Okay? Don't look at what's happening in the world and what's happened in the last several years in our world and think, oh, things are just going to rock along just like they have been historically. Don't be an idiot. Circumstances are changing in the world, in our country. The same circumstance may bring both sorrow and joy. Joseph, at first, was sorrowful, I'm sure, that his bride-to-be was pregnant. Remember what he thought about? He was going to put her away quietly. He's going to do the right thing. And think of all of what Joseph didn't know. And yet here's a man who's going to be a stand-up guy and do the right thing. And then his circumstance changes when he hears from God and he sees the circumstance that he was looking at through the eyes of God. Do you see how that changes things? How many things would be different in our lives if today we would begin to see them through His eyes? Where is God wanting to turn your sorrow into His joy? Where? Every sorrow is an opportunity for an infusion, for a baptism of the joy of God. Another truth about circumstances. Circumstances do not make the person. They simply uncover the person that's already there. You get it? In each of these cases that we looked at with Joseph and Mary, shepherds, magi, circumstances unveil simple faith in God. The circumstances revealed their true identity and their true motivation. Another truth about circumstances, they cannot be allowed to control our lives. What if all the faithful characters in this Christmas story had allowed circumstances to control? What if they'd given in to circumstances? We'd have no Christmas stories, we know it. These were people who saw God as being Lord of the circumstances. Are you allowing yourself right now to be under circumstances? Maybe it's time to turn to the one who is over all the circumstances and who is Lord of all. Finally, a few suggestions for you, recommendations about how to take control of your circumstances. Some things for you to do. Practical applications. Here's the first one. Why don't you take a Christmas trip? And before you race to conclusions there, why don't you take a Christmas trip to someone you've really been needing to see and surprise them? Anybody you've really been needing to see? Maybe it's time for a Christmas trip. Second recommendation. Why not extend a Christmas pardon? You know, in several states around, they have a program of pardoning someone. Well, there may be someone who has hurt you. Someone that you're holding something over their head, something they've done to you. Why not extend a Christmas pardon to them? Forgive them. And in that forgiveness, you'll bring joy on two fronts, for you and for them. And it might be someone you've already forgiven, but they just don't know it. Third recommendation. Why don't you explain the Christmas joy to the people that are around you? People are watching you every day. They're wondering about the source of joy in your life. Find a way to explain to them the reason for the season. To give them the good news. And see, the thing about this is, it's going to have to last past December 25th, isn't it? For it to be real. Explain the joy to them. I'll guarantee you, if you're living out the life of Christ before, there are people who have questions about how weird you are. A fourth recommendation is, why not give a Christmas gift? A gift is something that you give that the person neither earns nor deserves. That's what makes it a gift. See, Christmas is about the gift of the Son of God, our Savior. Is there a gift you could give someone? Not something they worked for or deserve in your life. Something of that unmerited favor character. Next thing, why not give the Christmas gift? What's the Christmas gift? The Christ, the Son of the living God. Have all the people in your life received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Maybe God wants to use the packaging of you to give them this gift and tell them about His Son. And finally, you may need to receive the Christmas gift. You see, we could look at all the Christmas story and talk about it and know all the details and know all about the characters and what each one of them meant, and we could be real religious people and we could do all the religious things, and we could still miss the Savior, the Son of God, who came to take away the sin of the world, but who came to take away my sin. On this Christmas 2010, I ask you, what have you done with Jesus? Is He your Lord and your Savior? Or is He still some babe in a manger that you've never let Him escape that? Or He's some caricature or some ancient story? I want you to know He's alive. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. He vacated heaven so He could come and fill up a life and live it perfectly. He vacated this life and went on a cross for our sin. He vacated that cross so He could go into a tomb and be buried for 3 days. And there the world would say, oh yes, a great life lived, a great religious figure. But no, He vacated even the tomb, and He arose again on the third day and showed Himself as alive to the world. And that testimony went out to the world as He showed Himself to everyone. But even in that, He vacated that and ascended back to the Father, and He sat down from whence He had come initially, with His work completed, done. That's why the Father could say to him at his baptism, say it, meaning what had happened so far and looking forward, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." And I ask you today, do you hear him? Have you received him? Dare say most of you in this room have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you've not, today is the day of salvation. Don't let the circumstances get in between you and the Lord. Let's bow our heads. In just a moment, we'll invite you to the altar if you want to come and pray. First and foremost, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He is ready, willing, and able to come into your life today. Won't you receive Him today? I'd sure like to know about it. You come and let me know. Mark it on your card that you received today. Maybe today, this message about circumstances has really gotten under your skin. God has spoken to you today. I'm not asking you to listen to what I have to say. I'm only asking you to listen to the part where you hear the echo and the amen of the Holy Spirit speaking through me today. What has He spoken to you? I want you to know He loves you and He cares so much about you. He wants your life to be brand new. And in a world of uncertainty comes the certainty of a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, our Lord. Maybe today is a time to let go of the circumstances of your life and put it in His hands. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up everyone who is in this room right now. Lord, in this room, I know there are those who have never yet claimed the name, who have never received Jesus, and I'm asking you, Lord, today, come, prick their hearts, draw them to yourself. Lord, I know your love is reaching out to them today. Right now, come and save them as they turn to you in faith, give their lives to you. Lord, we are praying over all the circumstances that have gotten in between us and you. Lord, every circumstance of the Christmas story, you turned a minus into a plus. And I'm asking you to do that in our lives today. Lord, some of us have great burdens in our hearts today, and we lift them up to you. They're real burdens. And we come before you with them, all of them. Family difficulties. Lord, for those who need jobs, who need another job. Lord, for those who need your power to come in the middle of relationships, the brokenness of relationship, family situations that need to be healed today. Lord, deliverance in our lives from drug abuse, from alcohol abuse. Lord, all of these things, we cry out to you today, Lord. Come. You who are Lord over the circumstances, come and show your power today. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus. The altar's open. There are those surrounding me here who pray with you.